digital with new look, various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcast, live radio broadcast, music playlist, podcast, video news, and various user interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as live, comments and share, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to special interview with Voice of Indonesia. Marking the March 15th is a celebration as International Consumers' Rights Day, a day to reflect on the importance of protecting consumers' rights globally. And for listener, this year's theme is a just transition to a sustainable lifestyle. What that we know about the consumer's rights, and today we have a special guest from the YLKI, or the Indonesia's Consumer Foundation. We have here Anjani Widya Hemasti as the Education Divisions of YLKI. How are you today, Anjani?
Hello everyone. Today I feel so amazing because this is my first time here, and it's such an honor for me. Thank you for having me here, VOI.
Yes, thank you so much, too, for accepting this interview. And right off the bat, can you tell us about the YLKI, and what does it mean for the consumers of the Indonesian?
Okay, so YLKI, it stands for Yayasan Lembaga Konsumen Indonesia, and we also known as Indonesian Consumer Foundation. It's a non-governmental, independent, and non-profit organization that has been advocating for consumer protection, fair business practice, and sustainable consumption in Indonesia since 1973. It's already 50 years. And also, YLKI itself, ultimate goal is to empower Indonesian consumers to be both informed and responsible, ensuring a balance between consumer rights and also their responsibilities as a consumer. And for YLKI itself, it contributes a lot in Indonesia. For example, we do a consumer advocacy. We're pushing the stronger regulation, and for now we're doing a tax for sweet sugar sweetened beverage. And we also advocating about trans fats in some products, in some dairy products like biscuits and also fried chicken and something like that. And we also doing engagement with the stakeholder for policy recommendation. Like we often meet the government, meet the ministry or industry to make a better policies for the consumer. So we also doing some consumer education. I have a weekly program called Smart Consumer in local radio in Indonesia. And the last one is YLKI doing handling complaints for consumers. We receive 1,000 in a year, and we usually doing a visual resolution for the complaint from the consumer in Indonesia.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Just before, you also said that there are 3 divisions in YLKAI, or the in YLKAI that actively supports the Indonesian consumers, like protecting their rights and also mediating for any problems that are happening. Can you tell us in details what is it?
Okay, so YLKAI have 3 main divisions. First, it's a complaint handling division. Their issue complaints and also make a mediation from the industry that consumer have complained to them. And also we have a research division, also a teaching division or education division, and I'm a part of education division.
Okay, so speaking of the Indonesian consumers' right highlights the importance of protecting the consumers' right. How does this year's theme, sustainability, tie into the rights of consumers, and particularly in Indonesia?
Okay, sustainability for me is a fundamental consumer right, because we know we have a consumer protection law, number 8, 1999, that states consumer has access to safe, environmentally and friendly products, and also we need to live in a population-free environment, and we have a right to receive transparent information about the sustainability of goods and services. So, if in Indonesia, unsustainable products and also consumption can contribute to first safer air pollution, like especially in Jakarta and industrial cities, and also water and food contamination. And the last one is high carbon emission from, you know, Indonesia it still depends on coal resource, so it makes a high carbon emission. But I know that Indonesian government has a target in 2060 to be achieve a net zero emission, and so for that consumer rights should include about affordable renewable energy and shifting to more sustainable environment. I think that's.
Oh, I see. It is really interesting, because since there are so many islands in Indonesia and many suku, they we usually said that, diverse population also and rich natural resources, have you ever faced any unique challenges as a division that protects the consumer's right, usually in doing transaction or any other stuff?
Challenge?
Yeah.
Well, I think there is a lot of challenge in Indonesia to shift to a sustainable lifestyle. For example, there is still a lot of misunderstanding about sustainability lifestyle, and we still depend a lot from coal resource, and also government should make a strong policy that supports the sustainability lifestyle. It's still we need improvement from that sector.
Okay. So how do you think about the global consumers that can help support Indonesia's efforts in sustainable development?
Okay, I think global consumers and businesses can contribute by first supporting sustainable Indonesia products, like for example choosing products that already have a sustainable packaging, or maybe we can pressure the corporation that working in Indonesia to have a sustainable, I mean, regulation that can make environment sustainable environment, and also investing in green projects, like maybe investing in some solar panel movement, and also public transportation in and with the electricity public transportation, not with the full transportation. And also we can make a line to push our government to make a better policy for this sustainable lifestyle.
Oh yeah, okay. So speaking of the sustainable lifestyle, what do Indonesia's supporting sustainable living in Indonesia, and how can the international companies collaborate in helping the sustainable living in Indonesia, speaking of sustainable lifestyle?
Okay, so I think, as I mentioned before, the international company can make like a guideline for their company that work in Indonesia to be more responsible for their environment and for their products, and also their economic and facilities. I think that.
Okay, I have two final questions. The first question is, can you share some of the country's biggest achievement in sustainability that the international listeners might be interested from Indonesia?
Okay, some achievement, right?
Yes, achievement.
Okay, some achievements that maybe the global listeners need to know about Indonesia achievement in sustainable lifestyle.
Yes.
First, Indonesia have been doing like carbon tax in 2022, if I'm not mistaken, and it reduced the carbon production in Indonesia, and also we're doing a lot of renewable energy resource. I think since Indonesia is a country that has a sunlight in every year in all of year, I think the solar panel energy is already spread and grow in Indonesia, and another resource like water, wind, and some of all, Indonesia has been working on that. And also, I remember that our government released a full that environmental friendly named B40 or B35. It's from a natural compound and also combined with the coal, and yeah, I think that's achievement that Indonesia has been received for sustainable lifestyle.
Oh yeah, so the most popular one that you mentioned is like Indonesia with solar energy. So it is really interesting if Indonesia, since Indonesia only have two seasons, and one of them is the summer with lots of sun, is it better for Indonesia that start using solar energy for a sustainable living?
I think maybe some of people in Indonesia still believe that having a sustainable lifestyle is just for wealthy one. So they might think that having a solar panel in their home is more expensive than we have a source from PLN. I think it may be expensive in the first place, but for the next month or maybe next year, it costs more. What is
it costs maybe, less?
Yeah.
I see. Yeah.
So, it will save more energy mm-hmm. and it costs less. I think everyone should know about that.
Yes, indeed. So, as a member of YLGAI, especially the education division of YLGAI, you said you managed to use the social media and make awareness for the consumers and also the Indonesian citizens about this sustainable living. So the final question is, what is the one thing they should know about Indonesia's approach to consumer rights and sustainability that you want to share to the others?
Okay, for now, Indonesia is in a critical turning point, and I think it's still heavily reliant on the fossil fuel,
mm-hmm.
and with the commitment from the government to a net zero emission in 2060, I think the consumer protection and sustainability must go hand in hand. And ensuring that environmental policies also address affordability, like I mentioned before, like solar panel is more affordable for us.
Mm-hmm.
It should be in good of collaboration in a lot of sectors in Indonesia, and it depends also with the strong regulation from the government. It also needs more awareness from our consumers. And we need a collaboration too with a global industry and global government to have a regulation and make a more sustainability lifestyle in the next year or maybe
for the future. Okay.
For the future.
Okay, thank you so much, Anjani Widya Hermasti, for coming and speak to us about the sustainability for the consumer's right for the Indonesian citizens. And thank you, Voice Listener, for joining us as we've discussed, sustainability is a shared goal, global responsibility, and Indonesia is making significant progress towards it. A more and just sustainable future, and let's continue to support each other in making better choices for the planet and for all the consumers worldwide. For the March 15th, celebrated as the International Consumers' Rights Day. Thank you so much for tuning in and Voice of Indonesia, and
Thank you so much. Always stay tuned
for all of amazing interviews and many more information only on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcasts in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Kasalami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasalami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasalami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or pot to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in teak or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called kagefe. To make kasawami, initially kagepe is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the kagepe, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with kagepe flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasawami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasawamis. Kasawami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasawami is the initial food in Bhutan's traditional events. Interestingly, kasawami is also often used as stocks for trips or souvenirs between fellow Bhutan residents. Kasawami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
Genggam persona jiwa. Voice of Indonesia.
As Gempol Pleret is one of the legendary Solo culinary delights because there are not many traders selling this culinary anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Solo and want to taste this traditional culinary. Although it is a popular culinary delicacy in Solo, in certain places there are still traders selling this as Gempol Pleret, such as in the Gede Market, Lawayan Market, and in the Manahan Field. Some call as Gempol Pleret is beverage because of its refreshing presentation, but there are also those who call it food because it is filling when enjoyed. The basic ingredients of this typical beverage are rice flour and glutinous rice flour. To make as Gempol Pleret, we have to soak rice flour first. Then it is shaped into small balls like meatballs, and then steamed. Therefore, some people call gempol as rice meatball, because it is round, made of rice, and it's white color. According to the story, gempol comes from the word jempol, because it uses the fingers. Pleret is also made from rice flour, which is made into dough and then formed into thin sheets resembling wonton. Afterwards, it is also steamed until cooked. Finally, for presentation, in a medium-sized bowl, the gempol pleret is aided with coconut milk, which is made from thin coconut milk and sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of jackfruit or cream sticky rice tapi. For one bowl of es gempol pleret, you only need to pay 5,000 rupiah. It is quite affordable, isn't it?
Listener, in this edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Menikahimu or Marry You by Keroncong Kremes. The song created by Indonesian noted musician Yovie Widianto was popularized by music group Kahitna and released in 2002. This song is perfect to be one of romantic songs for couples who are about to get married. The song not only talks about falling in love, but also about commitment, loyalty, and the journey of life together. Well, listener, here is the keroncong version of the song Menikahimu by Keroncong Kremes. Happy listening.
Kau paling Mino and therefore Lake Kelimutu, the three-colored lake with breathtaking beauty. But few people know that Ende has hundreds of different cultures in every region. Therefore, we take you to a tradition village which is located 12 kilometers to the east from the city of Ende, namely Wolotopo village, the city of Argos in Greek story. That's what people may cross through their mind when setting foot in the village and seeing it from the height of about 800 meters above sea level. We are getting amazed after 30 minutes of driving from the city center of Ende. Passing through semi-hot mix road along the coast of Nanganesa with waves and sparkling black sand which have particular charm. Precisely in front of Wolotopo Church, which stands steadily, we begin our journey to the center of traditional kampong. We trace rising paths and pass through village, meeting people with friendliness. They do not hesitate to smile at us while doing their activities. Children are playing and running around, enjoying beautiful moments. Before arriving in the center of traditional kampong, we should meet Bernardus Dei to ask permission. He is Mosalaki or custom leaders in Wolotopo village. He is precisely called Mosalaki Dikasawu, who plays a key role in every traditional processions in the village. The middle-aged man guides us to Nuapu'u or the origin kampung, where Sauria or big houses are situated. There are two Sauria in the village, namely Sau Atalaki and Sau Sue. They are wooden stilt house with rumbia as the roof, with steady rocks arrangement which have existed since the first generation to the seventh.
Rumah ini sudah lapisan ketujuh.
This house is already for the seventh generation. It was not noted yet. This house is symbolic, related to the territory rights of custom law people. It symbolizes working together and unity. This house was built with ritual ceremony.
Every house is inhabited by two tribes. Each tribe only has three heads of families, which means every Sauria is inhabited by six heads of families. Now we take you to enter Sau Atalaki to explore parts of the house. Sau Atalaki has two sides, the left and the right side. Every wooden building side, which is inhabited by two tribes, have three rooms, with each name and function. They are Wajah Buuria, Wajah Lulu, and Wajah Tenda.
Di dalamnya ada tiga bagian. Yang pertama bagian Buria, setelah Buria Wajah Lulu, yang kedua Wajah Tenda.
There are parts inside the house. They are Wajah Buuria, Wajah Lulu, and Wajah Tenda. The first one is inhabited by the first child because Bu itself means the oldest. Then there is a place to keep the ancestors' heritage objects. There is also a place for Mosalaki to discuss. In front of the house, there is a place for Musyawara or deliberation and traditional ritual. After that, there are bedroom and kitchen. The position is the same both in the left and the right side.
Begitu pula sebelah kiri dan kanan, sama, sama semua posisinya, seperti hitungannya.
To build and renovate the traditional house, it takes months and even years through various traditional ceremonies which need high cost, at least 2 billion rupiah. That was the total amount revealed by Bernardus Dei. Although most of Wolotopo villagers are plantation farmers, they are willing to pay big amount of funds for traditional affairs. Moreover, their relatives who have been wandering are willing to do that. In 2005, Sau Atalaki was renovated, starting from the making of temporary gubuk or hut to the process of rope yarn spinning, which was arranged for traditional ceremony. The spun rope yarn was used to pull pegs of wood called Tai Telu Lolu. Then people break down the house and held a traditional ceremony to move their heritage objects to a temporary hut, which was built before the ceremony. After it was all done, a ceremony called Lea Laku to prevent bad luck during the construction process of the traditional house was held.
Upacara Lea Laku itu di mana para tuka dengan
Lea Laku ceremony is when construction workers clear location both in kampung and in the forest. They should give food in four directions to stay away from bad luck and obstacles. They give a ring to the ruler of the forest before cutting the woods. An animal is given a sacrificed animal. Once it arrives in the last phase of construction, offering is put again to show thanks and gratitude to the ruler of the forest.
After all construction materials are complete, the people do tenda sau ceremony. The all-night-long ceremony featured tandak and gawi dance. In the morning, people go back to work to put leke pera, house pole with offerings. People say that it has a magical power and it functions as supporting poles for other poles. It is the main pole which will hold back any kinds of disaster. It is in the right side of the house. This process is done for 4 years. There are special days in the process of traditional house construction, where all villagers are prohibited to do any activities, including waving or doing house chores. The days are considered as purification to make the traditional house sacred.
Telah melakukan pemasangan lekepera, dilanjutkan pemasangan untuk balok untuk buat tenda rumah.
After putting leke pera, putting blocks for the pole is done in 4 days. After that, there are 4 days of purification in which the house owner, construction workers, and all villagers are prohibited to do any activities. The house is fenced with leaves to make it sacred. Within 4 days, activities like weaving and constructing are stopped. They cannot touch the house either. The 4 days off are special for this house purification. After that, the construction begins again in a ceremony.
Although the traditional house is constructed, the people cannot immediately live in the house. There are more series of traditional ceremonies. Before the launching ceremony, in the dusk, precisely at 6, custom leaders does bad luck prevention process again by giving offerings in 4 directions to repel bad spirit in the village, forest, and in the sky. In the evening, the ceremonies of Gola Nio, Poke Muku, and Gawi Kea are held in Kedah Kanga, which is participated by regional government officials and all Mosalaki in Wolotoko village. Kedah Kanga is a place where their ancestors did worship with one stone monument named Musumasi. This monument is the center of all spiritual power in Wolotoko village. Besides, there are stone graves which have existed for hundreds of years in Kedah Kanga. The graves will be used as the last eternal resting place for Mosalaki.
Kedah Kanga, rumah tempat pemuja berhala oleh seluruh para Mosalaki.
Kedah Kanga is a place where Mosalaki worship the adults. The graves have levels. The central circle has a stone monument called Musumase as the center of spiritual power. The stone is worshipped as an idol. People put offering in the upper part to symbolize the sky and in the lower part to symbolize the earth. The stone monument is buried by Mosalaki in a kampung center called Puse Nua in Leo language.
In the end of the series of ceremonies, all people and Mosalaki do tandak and gawi dance accompanied with Golamba traditional music to show gratitude for the smooth construction of Saoria. That's the culture and tradition in Wolotoko traditional village. A traditional village with hundreds of ceremonies which are still maintained. A village with megalithic site which is still preserved until today. Hopefully, this information can broaden your insight about the cultural diversity in Ende, Flores, East Nusa Tenggara, Indonesia.
Here's the news. The Indonesian House of Representatives proposes implementing a tourism tax to attract higher quality visitors and address over-tourism issues, particularly in Bali. According to Bane Raja Manalu, a member of Commission 7, this tax could fund promotions and facility improvements. He notes that Bali's over-tourism has led to environmental and social challenges, exacerbated by low-cost carriers, bringing tourists with minimal economic impact. The next news. On Friday, March 14, 2025, the Indonesian rupiah opened trading at 16,391 rupiah per US dollars, appreciating 37 points from the previous rate of 16,428 rupiah. This strengthening is attributed to the US Producers Price Index data for February 2025, which showed a 0.0% change below the anticipated 0.3%, while the core PPI declined to 0.1%. Bank Permata's chief economist Joshua Pardede noted that these figures suggest a potential slowdown in U.S. inflation, leading to expectations of the Federal Reserve adopting a more dovish stance on interest rates, thereby weakening the U.S. dollars and benefiting emerging market currencies like the rupiah. And that was the news.
Kau memang dari planet yang lain, dikirim ke bumi untuk orang-orang sepertiku. Sepertinya kau memang dari planet yang jauh, dikirim ke bumi untuk datang menemani aku. Yang kalau ditanya apa bentuk cinta, aku juga bingung jawabnya, gak tahu gimana. Menyimpan banyak tanya tentang cinta, aku bingung carinya di mana. Tanya ke siapa. Lalu datang kau yang unik, kau teman.
menemani aku jalan pelan berdampingan tidak buru-buru gandeng tangan. Aku pernah kehilangan ketakutan lalu kau terangkan bahwa itulah bahagia.
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice listener, don't forget that you can tune in to our broadcast and online streaming, voinews.id, shortwave and 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and our application in RRA Digital for those of you love watching on demand.
Ajari aku untuk bisa menjadi yang engkau cinta, agar ku bisa memiliki rasa yang luar biasa untukku dan untukmu. Jari aku untuk bisa